Okay, good evening, everyone. Let's get started. So what I'd like to do tonight is really just go a little bit in order. This is our third and last part. I should really begin by with an incredible thank you for everyone who came out tonight. This is clearly not a Pascha time of year. As important as Talmud Torah is, you know, we say in Shacharit Berachos HaTorah every morning, Talmud Torah kineged kulam, that there is nothing greater than the zechus of Talmud Torah. So I think perhaps one of the exceptions could be preparation for Pesach. But I really appreciate the fact that everybody took a break, or maybe used me as an excuse to get out of the house a little bit. But it's always a privilege to learn with each and every one of you every week. But all the more so at this time of year that is so hectic. This will be our third and last shiur in this series. Obviously, it would be wonderful to be able to get through the Haggadah. I actually heard I was driving to a wedding in New Jersey this week, and someone had given me a CD by a Talmud Chacham in New York. And within an hour shiur, he went through the entire Haggadah. The entire Haggadah. He began with a theme in Kaddish, and literally 1 hour later was already by Chasal Sidur Pesach. It was quite astounding. I'm certainly not able to do that. I could barely get through a paragraph in an hour and 10 minutes. But what I'd like to try to do tonight is to go a little bit in order. I'm sorry? There's Iyun Bikias. Yeah, but this was an Iyun. This was Iyun. This was still in depth, but he managed to get through the entire thing. In any event, if we look at number one, so just to reorient ourselves a little bit, 2 weeks ago, in our first of this three-part series, we spent the entire time speaking about the Simani HaSeder. Kadesh, Urchaz, Karpas. Again, that section that appears at the beginning of every single Haggadah doesn't really play such a primary role in the Seder, but we discussed the significance. Last week we focused on the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kevan shivim shana, I am like 70 years old, velo zachisi shete amar yitzias esrayim balelos, and I was unable to convince everyone to say kriyashma, to remember the Exodus at night, until Ben Zoma came along. We discussed the significance of that. I'd like to really just move in order. The very next section of the Haggadah in number one, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is Makom, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Blessed is the one who is He, the one who gave Torah to Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. And then immediately following, perhaps the most popular part of the Haggadah, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks to the four sons, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, the Echad She'eni Yodea Lishol. The four sons that we are all familiar with. So tonight, I'm not going to focus on the four sons. Because the truth is, when we get to this section of the Haggadah, that's the piece that everyone jumps to. Instead, I'd like to focus on the first part. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. The truth is, the only reason it really has any kind of meaning in the Seder is why? Because we sing it, right? Because we sing it. That's the truth. It happens to have a catchy tune. It's nice. The truth is, it breaks up, let's be honest, a little bit of the readings of Magid. Because the truth is, at least, and maybe Yaakov Mordechai will say differently, I've yet to come across a tune for Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, all right, or Rabbi Akiva, and all the other Rabbanim Mesumim ben Bnei Brak. So the truth is, after Manishtan, or actually after Avadim Hayinu, this is the first next singing piece in the Haggadah, which again, not to belittle that, is incredibly important, because remember, the singing aspects is certainly the way we get the children, but if we're honest, it's not just the children, it's the way we engage the adults as well to get back into the Seder a little bit. But I'd like to explore tonight a little bit of just the understanding of this phrase. Again, understand the context. We just finished with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, like we learned last week. The newly appointed head of the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, who was appointed at the age of 18 years old. Right? Again, he is, according to the Rambam, at least in others, sitting at that Seder in Bnei Brak. Right? Remember, the Rambam links those two paragraphs. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is sitting at the Seder in Bnei Brak, and he's telling all the other rabbis, my first order of business is to get everyone to remember the Exodus at night. They're discussing everything until the wee hours of the morning. He chimes in with this little bit. We then have the Arabanim, the four sons, and tucked away in the middle, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. What is the meaning of this phrase or of this small section? So I'd like to try to advance four different approaches tonight. We begin with number two. Again, by now, I'm sure you have all purchased your Haggadah, because every year you should purchase for yourself a new Haggadah. There is such a plethora of titles out there in any language that you want. It enriches your Seder experience. Every single year, something different. If you happen to be in the market, so Haggadah, again, it's only in Hebrew, it's not in English, but it's worth sitting there with a dictionary, is called Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah. In number two, again, it's pretty much like an encyclopedia Haggadah. It's not any one opinion or any one rabbinic authority or any one approach, but rather it's a compendium, it's a compilation of various different ideas. So the Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah quotes a couple of very interesting insights into Baruch HaMakom. So he writes in number two, Piskazu mehave pisicha lidrasha sha'achareha. So the truth is, the Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah, and he quotes a number of different opinions that subscribe to this particular idea, that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is actually an introduction. An introduction to what? To the Arba Banim, to the section of the four sons. Interestingly enough, if you look in many Haggadahs, you will see they're actually paragraphed together. Some Haggadahs have it Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu separate and then Arba Banim, but many Haggadahs put Baruch HaMakom together in the same paragraph with the four sons. So the Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah say that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is an introduction to the section of the four sons. Why do I need an introduction? Kederech Adam Sherotzeh Lidrosh Umakdim Va'omer Bashem Hashem Kel Olam. So here the Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah says that it was quite common, and we'll explore this a little bit more as we go on, that you find many instances in the Talmud where you had different Tanoim and Amoraim who would open up their shir with praise to God. Actually, interestingly enough, there were two main rabbinic approaches. There were the rabbis who opened up with praise to God, and there were the rabbis who opened up with a joke. All kidding aside, those are the two speaking approaches. Who do you think was more popular? All right, so that goes without saying, right? Tell a good joke, you've got your audience, and go on from there. So here, what the Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah is pointing out is there was a style that before launching into a Torah discussion, they would open with a public praise of God. So says the Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah, before we get into the topic of the four sons, and we'll see why the four sons are somewhat treated now as a subsection, because here's what's interesting. This is all in the section of the Haggadah that we call Magid. Magid begins where? Manishtana. Avodim Hayinu. Avodim Hayinu, right? Manishtana is the question that ultimately is answered by the Magid section. So what's interesting to note is, according to this approach, the discussion of the four sons seems to represent a new chapter in Magid. How do we know that? Because it gets its own introduction. Because before we begin the Arba Banim, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnas Antol Amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. So first approach is this phrase is an introduction to the section of the four sons. The Otzar Mefarshei HaHaggadah quotes another approach in number two, which is somewhat opposite. He writes, Yeshikasvu, She'ein ha'psicha k'shura dafka l'drashas arba saban. I'm in the left-hand paragraph in number two. Ela kevan she'rotze lidrosh be'inyan arba sabonim. Ve'ein l'drasha zu shaychus l'drasha dila'el. Hifsik be'psika zu. A second opinion that he quotes is, in reality, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is not an introduction to Arba Banim. What is it? It's a break. It's a break. Because here's the issue. We learned last week, the section immediately preceding the four sons is what? Hey, bro. Ay, ay, ay. All right. I'll take off my jacket. All right, okay. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Right? You said the 18-year-old. Okay, give him a little more cover than the 18-year-old. All right. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Good. Yes, the 18-year-old head of the yeshiva. So what the Otzar Farshia got to say, that was that section. Now the truth is, we know, what is the theme? What are the things we advanced last week? What's the connection between the B'nai Brak story and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria? Besides the fact that the Rambam connects them, what common theme do they have? What? Good, excellent, the condition of hope. Good, what else? Even simpler. On a halachic level, what's the common thread? Good. They create between the two of them the halachic continuum. Right? The B'nai Brak story talks about already the most, not the most, but the highest level a person could reach, where literally a person is going ahead and talking about the Exodus narrative throughout the entire night. And what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria teach us? The bare minimum. What's the bare minimum for Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Shema, remembering it. Zechira. Snesas the Otzar Mefarshei Agadah. That first section of Magid really dealt with the technical details involved with the mitzvah of Sipur. Well, now we want to transition out of that and begin to get a little bit more into the actual Exodus narrative. Well, again, the Haggadah doesn't just want to go from one to the other, it wants a transition phrase. So what, or a transition section. So what's the transition section? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. So second approach is, it's not connected to anything. It's just simply there to make a break between the technical discussion of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and now again getting into the actual Exodus narrative. So again, in number two, we have two approaches. Either A, that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is actually an introduction to the discussion of the four sons, the Haggadah modeling itself after the Talmudic model of teaching, which was before introducing a Torah discourse, one would begin with praise of God. Approach number two is, in reality, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is not related to anything. It is haphazard, and its placement is its placement is not haphazard, but the wording is haphazard just in order to do what? To make a break, a transition. Yes? Or you could say a little bit differently that what better way to make transition than with blessing God? Okay, but right, it doesn't. Right, it doesn't seem to be an ends. It's just a me. I understand. Well, good. That's why we have other opinions. So that's our first. Yes. Correct. Because remember, if we go with the approach that the B'nai Brak episode and Belazav and Azariah episode teach us about the halachic parameters of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was one of the ideas that we advanced last week, then really with the four sons, remember, I apologize, I should have really zeroxed you a couple of pages of the Haggadah so you get a flavor for it. What happens once the four sons are introduced? That's when the actual psukim dealing with the Egyptian bondage actually come onto the scene. So the Otzar Mefarshei Haggadah is suggesting Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is a transition between the halachic aspects and now between the getting into the actual story. Take a look at number, let's actually skip a little bit to number four. Yes? Oh, very good. Very good. Very nice, even in the transitions. Very nice. Take a look at number four. So here, and again, 3, 4, 5, 6 are all going to comprise one basic approach. So, but I'm going to go a little bit out of order. So take a look at number four. The Malbim, in his commentary on the Haggadah, says, V'cheivan shetzorich lahaskir es ha-Torah, hikdim lanu bal ha-Haggadah, shevach v'todah la-Kadosh Baruch Hu, al shenasan Torah li'amo Yisrael. So the Malbim points out something very interesting. There's one very unique thing that happens from this point in on, which is we become very textually heavy. What does that mean? That for the next section of Magid, we spend the majority of our time quoting verses from the Torah. quoting verses. Remember, this is for many, this is the difficult part of Magid, because it seems a little bit dry, because it's a lot of readings. But in reality, it's the actual meat of Magid. It's the actual meat of the story. So says the Malbim, because now we are going into a part of the Haggadah that is going to quote many different psukim, before we get into that, we take the opportunity to do what? To do what? To thank God for giving us the Torah. So meaning what the Malbim says is, now the part of the Haggadah that is very Torah-centric, before we get into that, we say, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael. We acknowledge God as the giver of the Torah, and thank Him for giving us this beautiful inheritance, this beautiful treasure, that we are about to learn together at our Seder. If you skip back up to number 3, along the same lines, and again, that's what I mentioned before, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are really all going to echo the same general theme. The Rashbates was Rabbi Shimon ben Tzemach Doron, who lived approximately 600 years ago in France. There is a Haggadah that came out. It's called the Haggadah Toras Chaim. So again, many of you probably have seen the Mosad HaRav Kook Chumashim, which are also called Toras Chaim, which is obviously a regular Chumash, with a lot of the Mefarshim that are not found in the regular Mikros Gedolos Chumashim. So Mosad HaRav Kook also came out with the Toras Chaim Haggadah, incorporating many commentaries that are not found in the classic Haggadah. So the Rashbetz is one of the commentaries there. So he writes something fascinating. Baruch Hamakom Baruchu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael, Baruchu, Lefi Sheikar Haggadah, Eino Ela Lahodia Levanov, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Remember, what is the essence of the Haggadah? Right? To do what? What do you do with Sipur? To go ahead and tell your children. Now, by the way, children is lav dafka children. The idea is what? What if you don't have children? Right? Right? The most extreme case is, even if you're having Seder by yourself, there is an obligation to actually say it to yourself. Not to talk to yourself, but to go ahead and actually verbalize with the dynamic of the Haggadah to yourself. Why? Because the essence of Pesach is transmission. That's the idea. I have to transmit that which occurred. Because when you have something wonderful that has happened to you, we all know, a wonderful event happens to me, it's only natural to do what? To share. And the more excited I am about it, the more I want to share, and the more people I want to share it with. That is the essence of the Haggadah. That's why it's called. It's not called the Sefer Mitzrayim. It's not called, you know, I don't know, whatever imaginative name. It's called the Haggadah. Haggadah means to tell. Because the essence of the night is transmission. So now, by the way, also, just to pause for a moment, we see why, if you go back to number 2, according to the first approach, in the Otzer Mefarshei Haggadah, that they understand Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu to be an introduction to the four sons. Why would the four sons receive their own introduction if indeed they are already in the middle of Magid? What would you say?
It's important to tell each son according to what is able, otherwise it's not Magid.
Good, hold on to that for a little bit, but simpler. Because this is the first act of real transmission. Although, again, we did have Manishtana and Avodim Hayinu. This is the much more personalized transmission, which we'll get to in a couple of moments. So the idea here, go back to number 3. Lefi she'ikar ha'agada eino ela lahodia levanov, sipor yitzias Mitzrayim. The essence of the Haggadah is to give over to one's children the story of the Exodus. Ukvar akarnu ha'shulchan, kedei she'yis'orer ha'bein lish'ol, ve'heshavnu lo lefi darko. Remember, many have the custom to, some just lift up the Seder plate, right, and put it back down. Others actually lift up the Seder plate and remove it from the table and don't bring it back until later on. Why do we do that? Either way, whether you're lifting it or taking it out, we purposely do strange things at the Seder in order to go ahead and get the kids to ask questions. V'achshav anu tzrichin. Left-hand paragraph. Va'achshav anu tzrichin l'hashiv al derech ha'chachma l'chol echad mehavanim kifidato. Now at this point in the Seder comes the obligation to respond to our children in accordance with where they're holding in life. Umatsinu b'Torah, shemana kineget arba banim chalukim b'she'ilasam, matiyet shuvas kol echav mehem. And the Torah itself recognizes the four different categories of sons, which we'll discuss in a little bit, and gave appropriate answers for each child. What happens after we speak about the four sons? Well, as we pointed out before, we go ahead and we quote the verses in the Torah that apply to each son, and we don't just quote them and read them, but what do we do with them? What do we do with them? We darshan them. What does that mean to darshan them? We dig deep into them. We analyze them. We analyze them. We don't just read it. He says, "Al kein anu tzrichin levarich birchas haTorah al zos hadrasha." Therefore, says the Rashba, something amazing. What does the Jew do, man, woman, and child? Every single morning when we wake up, we say Moda Ani, we wash the tefillah daim, and then what? Birchas haTorah. Birchas haTorah. Right? We say that whole section of brachos, the most important of those brachos, la'asok b'divrei Torah, and, asher bachar banu, mikalo amin. Why? Because again, one has to make a blessing before learning Torah. Why does one have to make a blessing before learning Torah? Thank God for the gift, number one. Why else? Invite God to the process. Good. Simpler? You're too old, too smart. Excellent. Because there's dafka one thing in life that you're going to make a bracha on before you learn, and nothing else, and that's Torah. To show that the pursuit of Torah is different than every other pursuit of knowledge in life. You do not make a bracha before you learn science, before you learn math, before you learn philosophy. All incredibly important pursuits. And all could be a religious service in and of themselves. But it's not Torah. It's not Torah. Torah, which represents the purest and holiest service of the divine, requires a bracha before man engages in that process. Says the Rashbet something very interesting. You know what's happening at this point in the Haggadah? Up until now, it's been a little bit of, excuse me for saying this, fluff. Right? We have our Manishtana, we have our Avadim Hayinu, we have stories about the rabbis in Bnei Brak, we have stories about, gray-haired 18-year-olds, we have all these different stories. But now we're going to sit down, and we're going to start to learn. Now what we're going to do is, again, we're not going to open a Chumash because we have it in our Haggadah, but again, in the days before Haggadahs, what would people do? At this point in the Seder, they'd open up their Chumash, they would start going through the Psukim. Would they read the Psukim? No, they would do battle with these psukim. You would go ahead and you would look at every single word and you would understand, why is it written like that? And why does it say it like this? And who is this speaking to? And why is this important? And which child does this correspond to? So this is the point in the Seder where everybody rolls up their sleeves and gets ready to immerse themselves in the vast and beautiful ocean of Torah. Says the Rashbetz, therefore what do we do before we engage in this process? We say Birchas HaTorah. The same way that we say Birchas HaTorah in the morning before we begin to learn, we make a special Birchas HaTorah here before we engage in this section of Torah study. And he quotes the Gemara, Kimo she'amru b'Gemara, Zimnin Sagin, Hava Ka'amina Kamei Derav, Lisanuye Lan Pirkin. So the Gemara says, quoting one of the other opinions, many times I was before Rav, when Rav was about to teach a shir, V'hava Kadim Umashia, they listen to how beautiful this is. Before Rav would give a shir, he would wash his hands. Why would he wash his hands? Because Rav recognized that teaching people Torah is one of the holiest of pursuits. And therefore, the same way that we wash our hands before tefillah, because it's service of God, Rav would wash his hands before giving a shir. And not only that, umevarech. And he would make a bracha. What bracha would he make? Birchas HaTorah. He'd make Birchas HaTorah. So you see that before he would go in and he would give a shir, he would dafka make Birchas HaTorah. Umasni lan pirkin. And only then would Rav teach us Torah. Al kein kodem elu hadrashos, anu mivarchin hamakom shenasan Torah liamo Yisrael. Therefore, before we get into the Haggadah, or before we get into the section that is all about Talmud Torah, no more stories for now, now we're going to get into the Psukim, we make our own Birchas HaTorah. Now, hold that for 1 second and skip just for one moment to number 6. We're going to come back. Actually, we're finished with that page. We're going to come back to number 5 in just a moment. So number 6, again, the Otsa Mefarshi Haggada echoes a similar sentiment to the Rashbetz. V'yeshe kasvu, shezohi birchas ha-Torah, shetaknu ha-kan, kodem sha'anu bayim lidrosh, esaksuvim le'iyen arba sabonim. Others say that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch shenasan Torah li'amo Yisrael, is birchas ha-Torah that we recite before getting into the psukim of the arba banim. Ela, shenakat ha-makom, Velo shem Hashem, lefi shekevar niskina lomar bechol yom birchas nosein haTorah b'shem umalchus. So here the Otzim of Farshi Agada brings us something very interesting. But if it's birchas haTorah, then why don't we make a regular bracha? Right? And what's the answer? We did it already. We did it already. So meaning clearly, we made birchas haTorah in the morning. We made it in the morning. Okay, so you're not going to make a real birchas haTorah using God's name. But at the same time, we are going to still make at least a quasi birchas haTorah in order to show that now we are about to engage in a different process of Haggadah. We are about to engage in a different process of Sipur. We are now about again to roll up our sleeves and to delve into the Psukim. No more stories, not even dealing with the mechanics of Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to open up our Chumash, we're going to go through the Psukim, and we're going to try to re-experience that which happened on this night thousands of years ago, in order to indicate that now Magid is taking a fundamental and radical shift. How do we introduce this section? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, which is Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah. Now in number 5, and again, still the same theme, Rav Soloveitchik, in his Haggadah, Siach HaGrit, which is also, by the way, if you are in the market for a new Haggadah, Rabbi Ginnak from the OU edited a new Haggadah with the Rav's Torah. It's actually excellent, really calling a lot of the Rav's ideas from many different sources. I don't remember what it's called, but it's something. Oh, what Exalted Evening, thank you. An Exalted Evening edited by Rabbi Menachem Ginnak. The Rav's Torah, also excellent, in English. In English. So this happens to be, this is another Haggadah of the Rav, Siach HaGrid, literally conversations of Hagon Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the Rav. So the Rav writes the following. I'm in the right-hand paragraph in number 5. Tzarech Beyor, ma inyan nesinas haTorah lekan. So the Rav asks our question, which is, why are we bringing up Baruch Shenasan Torah liAmo Yisrael? What does that matter right now, that God is the giver of the Torah? I mean, great, yes, we all acknowledge that. No one's arguing with that. Why must we discuss that now? Ulechora hayot tzarech lahaschil miyad kineged arba banim dibra Torah. The Rav essentially says, let's forget about that whole section, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, and go immediately into what? The discussion of the four sons. So look at the left-hand paragraph. So this is a much longer piece by the Rav. I'm only giving you a couple of snippets. He says, V'hine tran bepesachim, kefi da'ato shel ben aviv malamdo. So the Gemara Maseches Pesachim says that in accordance with the intellectual prowess of the child, that is how the parent must teach. Ulich ora, haya lashon ha-mishna tzarech lihios aviv mesaper lo. Va'amai nakta ha-mishna belashon aviv milamdo. So the Rav makes a very interesting observation. The Mishnah says that in accordance with the intellect of the child, the parent must teach them, milamdo, teach them about the Exodus. Says the Rav, what is the mitzvah on Seder night? Sipur. So it shouldn't have used the word melamdo. It should have used what word? Misapro. According to the intellect of the child, the father tells the story to, according to the intellect of the child, the parent tells the story to the child. Why do you say according to the intellect of the child, the father teaches the story to his child? So look what the Rav says, and this is amazing. Elanira de mevor mizeh, masha be'arnu. De mitzvas, sipur yetzias mitzrayim, Eino rak lisaper libino masheira bimitzrayim, ela ditzorich gam lilamed es bino al yidei parshios haTorah vehilchos haPesach as sipur yitzias Mitzrayim ulekach isa b'mishna kifi da'ato shalbein aviv malando. So the Rav points out something amazing, that in this little nuanced word usage, the Gemara is teaching us an incredible idea. That what is the mitzvah of Sipur? The mitzvah of Sipur is not telling stories. Yes, stories part of it. The mitzvah of Sipur is showing your child the text. The mitzvah of Sipur is teaching your child the laws. It's to show your child that this is not just a fairy tale. This is not just an interesting story. This is not just something to make you go, ooh and ah. There's intellect involved in this. There's analysis involved in this. There is thought-provoking ideas. There are things that trouble us. There are things that we don't understand. There are things that the Mefarshim argue about. The Rav, by the way, is introducing an incredible idea in Chinuch, that in order for children to appreciate the Mesorah of their parents, the parents must know how to give it over in a sophisticated fashion. Children are smart. Children are smart. So if you're going to give them a fairy tale, so the truth is they probably got a whole bookshelf of fairy tales. All right, so they don't like Mitzrayim one, we'll go get... I'm not home for bedtime that often, so we'll go get another one. All right? So the idea that Rav is saying is that what is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Kefi da'ato shaban aviv melamdo. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is that on Seder night, you bring your child next to you, and child, remember, is just an example. It applies to anyone who you're going to transmit the information to. And what do? You open a chumash, and you learn a pasuk, and you look at text, and you analyze, and you understand, and you delve into the intricacies of halacha. That is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, because a child, even at a young age, will appreciate that cognitive process, will appreciate the analysis, will appreciate the depth of what his parents are trying to give over to him. Says the Rav, that is the mitzvah of Sipur. Therefore, Efshar Lefiza, last paragraph in number 5 on the left hand side column, Efshar Lefiza, Yesh Levair, Lamer Omrim, Lifnei Arba'as Habonim Baruch Shanas on Torah. Now, says the Rav, we can understand why we open the section of the four sons with a discussion of Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. The Harit Sarich Gam Lelameid Lebanim Es Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yes, you have to go ahead and teach your children the story. Ulidrosh Bidroshos Shah Torah Nidroshim Bohem Kiderech Talmud Torah. But there's an obligation to go ahead and delve in and analyze and conceptualize the different pieces of Torah as well. As Parshas Arami Ovedavi Lachain Tzrich. So what the Rav is introducing, and this is very much echoing the same theme of the Rashbates and of the Otzim Mefarshi Haggadah in number 6, namely that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu operates as a Birchas HaTorah. We are now making a transition into from simple stories into actual textual analysis, and we'll call it actual textual analysis. Therefore, we make a Birchas HaTorah. The Rav just takes it one step further and says, from the fact that you make a Birchas HaTorah before this process, indicates to us that the mitzvah of Sipur is much more than the retelling of a story. The mitzvah of Sipur is to enfranchise those around your Seder table to join into the analytical and cognitive process of Talmud Torah. That is Sipur. Okay. Yes. We'll get to that. That we'll talk about. We will get... Right. The Rav is not... That's not now. That's not... Although, by the way, as we'll see when we look back, none of these ideas reject that notion. They could all be fit in. Remember, every child should be exposed to text. And every single child should be exposed to analysis. Maybe some more, some less. But the child for whom Judaism always remains just stories will never have the appreciation. So what the Rav is saying is a critical piece in Chinuch is make sure your child at least has had the exposure to to a Chumash. That's what we do. That it's the Haggadah. What Rav is pointing out is the Haggadah is not all stories. Because all stories don't stick. Stories are nice. Maybe they even inspire you for a little bit. But stories are not what holds the soul over through years and years of turbulent existence. It's a connection to Mesorah, and connection to Mesorah is established through connection to Psukim, to actual text. Every child, in accordance with what they could handle. But we're going to talk about that. Okay, that's our second approach. Yes? Separate concept. Good. That comes later on in the Haggadah. The Chayiv Adam Liros is Atzmo Kiyotzim in Mitzrayim. First of all, that'll be, we'll talk about that this Shabbos on Shabbos Haggadah. That's the topic for Shabbos. But that dynamic is really introduced much later on. And there's a reason for that. But yes, stories do help with that. That is correct. Look at number 7. This is now going to be our third approach. Approach number 3. Again, I'm sorry?
Those four things were approach number 3.
No, those four things were approach number 2. I'll go back over them afterwards. I'll go back over them. So go to number 7. So, writes the Otzim of Farshi Haggadah. Right, the truth is, a couple of them, I realize I have. Source number 2 had two approaches in it. But I only counted that as one approach. You're right. That's right. Okay, I take it back. The next approach, whatever number it is. So, number 7. Another, this is just a much simpler idea. He says, V'yeshikasav, again from the Otzim of Farshi Haggadah, V'yeshikasav, Shehine ein bracha al mitzvahs sipur yitzias mitzrayim. Shemihyosa mitzvahs asay tu'una bracha. Ela she'etzem ha-mitzvah kvar niftra b'kriyashma shal arvis. V'aleha kvar berchu shtayim lefaneh u'shtayim la'achareha. So now, I'm going to call it just the third approach, just in terms of the sources. The third approach now is that what is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? Same idea, it's a bracha, but it's not Birchas HaTorah. It's not like what the Rav and the Rashbetz were saying that it's Birchas HaTorah. What is it? It's a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because as we pointed out, the four sons, the reason why that is such an important section of the Haggadah, is because that is really when we get into the actual details of the Exodus narrative. Because remember, it's not just the Exodus. We go all the way back. We go back to Lavan already. We go back to Avram Avinu. We go back to Terach. So this is really the section where we begin to get into the Sipur through the eyes of the text. Or in other words, this is where real Sipur begins. As such, what the Otzim of Farshi Haggadah suggests is that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael, is a bracha, but it's a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. If it's a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, then why not what? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Hashem Shem Tzav Tzivanu Am Mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Otzim Mefarshi Haggadah already picks up on that. What is his answer? It actually ties into what we learned last week. What's his answer? You have, technically speaking, already discharged your obligation for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. How? In Kriyas Shema. Remember, that was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You've, technically speaking, already discharged your obligation because you've already technically discharged your obligation in Shema. Not only that, but Shema is sandwiched in between brachos. Two brachos beforehand, two brachos afterwards. As such, to repeat a real bracha with the name of God, that we can't do. But to at least recite a quasi-bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur, that we do. Yes? Not really. Now, you say in terms of going home? No, because there you have an out, and your out is that there is a rabbinic mitzvah of Kiddush ala Kos. So technically speaking, the most you may have done is you may have fulfilled the biblical obligation of Kiddush, but certainly not the rabbinic obligation. And because you haven't fulfilled the rabbinic obligation, you have license to use the name of God. Okay, our last approach for the evening. Our last approach. Chaya would call 5, I'm going to call 4. All right, so you're good? All right, so take a look at number 8. So here I quoted to you also another wonderful, wonderful Haggadah. Anything you pick up, Rabbi Twersky, is gold. So this Haggadah is from Bondage to Freedom. He has really a lot of wonderful, wonderful insights on the Haggadah. So it's a little bit long, but it's worth the read, because he really frames this entire thing in a beautiful way. So Rabbi Twersky writes the following. The Haggadah introduces the dialogue with the four sons with the phrase, "Blessed is the one who has given the Torah to his people Israel." The bracha we recite when reading the Torah closes with, "Blessed is God who gives the Torah." Gives rather than has given. The giving of the Torah was not a historical event of the past, but is an ongoing process which continues to the present and beyond. Let us reflect a moment. What other book written thousands of years ago continues to be studied and analyzed with its teachings applied to everyday life? The philosophical works of Aristotle and Plato may be studied by students of philosophy, but are essentially of little more than academic interest. The great scientific discoveries of the Renaissance may be appreciated as breakthroughs, but their content has long been obsolete. Theories of physics that were held to be true just several decades ago have now been discarded. Torah, on the other hand, has continued to be relevant to this very day, its teachings finding appreciation in everyday life. Torah has not been and never will be obsolete. Every generation since Sinai has found its needs addressed in Torah. Why? Because the author of the Torah knew the needs of every generation until the end of time and provided for all eventualities. This is why we say he gives the Torah rather than he gave the Torah. Throughout centuries of Jewish history, children have been asking questions about Torah, and parents have been able to respond. Parents can respond in the age of jet planes and microwaves, as well as when people travel by mule and cooked over wood fires. The Torah is and will be relevant unto eternity. Spirituality is similarly timeless. Material quests and lifestyles may undergo change. Truth, selflessness, compassion, patience, diligence, and all other components of spirituality are today what they were thousands of years ago. There can be continuity throughout generations, provided that we bequeath and transmit spiritual values to our children. Beautiful, beautiful idea. I want to use it just to set the table now for the next couple of sources. Look at number 9. So here I quoted to you another one. Everything's a wonderful Haggadah. This is the Haggadah of the Beis Halevi. The Haggadah of the Beis Halevi is a Haggadah that is a collection of the insights on the Seder by the great Torah luminaries of the Brisker dynasty, the Soloveitchiks. So it's the Rav's grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather, going all the way back to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So here in number 9, I quoted to you a piece from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, remember, was the primary disciple of the Vilna Gaon, of Eliyahu of Vilna, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner got his name Volozhiner because ultimately he settles in Volozhin and opens up the yeshiva of Volozhin. Interestingly enough, Volozhin, the building itself, is still there. It's now Nebuchadnezzar, now it's a post office. But the building itself, Volozhin, is actually still there. So in number 9, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes something amazing. He says, "Be'er hemshech hadvarim nira, dehine bechachmos ha'olam, sifrei halimut shel osa chachma shelomdim ba, michulakim ledargos." So Rav Chaim Volozhiner makes an astounding observation. He says, when it comes to other disciplines, right? So any other discipline or any other body of knowledge has different books for people on different levels. I guess, lahavdil, you know, you walk into Barnes & Noble, it's an amazing thing. There is a section of those for dummies books, right? Anything that you want to learn about in life, it doesn't matter, quantum physics, it's everything for dummies. Obviously, there are different books. So somebody who has no background in a certain subject needs to start with a certain book versus someone who is incredibly wise and has much experience with a certain discipline could do something more advanced. Liktanim, third line in number 9, Liktanim umaschilim, yesh bahen reishus hachachma, asher nichtav bekalus kafi asagas halomed. For either young people or for beginners in a particular discipline, there are books that contain the initial pearls of wisdom that could be understood, that maybe they're broken down in very elementary terms to allow the reader to understand the deeper concepts. Ukeshe gomer sefer zeh, lomeid b'sefer acher kashe yoser v'chein hala. And then what happens when you finish quantum physics for dummies? Well, I don't really know what you do after that, but I guess what you do is you'd get something more advanced after that, right? And so on and so forth. Look what Rechai Valashner said. This is so astounding. Ava b'Torah, it's beautiful. Hare oso hachumish, bo lomed hayeled hamaschil belimut chumish, gam ha'anak b'Torah misamek va'amabo. But when it comes to Torah, the same child who is first beginning to learn Torah learns from the same chumish that the greatest sage learns from as well. There is no different text for young and old. There is no different text for beginner and sage. Everyone learns from the same Torah. V'chol echad masig ba'osa ha'chumash lefi ha'saga sohu. But what's the beauty of it? That even though it's the same text, what happens? Everyone understands it in accordance with where they are holding. My friends, it's no different than the same way we read the same five books of the Torah year in and year out. Do you ever look at the story of Cain and Hevel the same when you read it each year? Do you ever look at the strife between the Shvatim the same? Do you ever look at the barrenness of Sarah Imenu the same? No. Why? Because although it is the same Torah that we see year in and year out, the Torah is a living, breathing dynamic. So depending on where I'm holding in life, the entire thing takes on a totally different slant. Stories and episodes that are meaningless to us, not meaningless, but that we just read one year, could reduce us to tears in a different year. Everything depending on where I'm holding, what's going on in my life, and the other intellect that I've acquired over the last year. The same child learns that Chumash and is beginning with that beautiful purity and holiness of childhood's simplicity, and just that you know, you hear a child read Chumash and there's nothing more beautiful in the world. Because there's no ulterior motives for it. It's not doing it for covet, not doing it for honor, maybe for a good mark on a test, but even that is so innocent in its childish nature. And the child reads that Torah, and yet you hear then, sometime the grandfather, the grandmother, sitting next to that child, reading that same pasuk, and it's amazing. Same chumash, same Torah, same pasuk. Child is going to get what he is going to get out of it. Grandparent is going to get what he or she is going to get out of it. And he goes on, V'davar zeh, Minifla'os ha-Torah. Friends, this says it all. And this in and of itself is what makes Torah absolutely wondrous. That no matter how simple, or no matter how wise, no matter how educated, or again, uneducated a person may be, we all learn the same Torah, and amazingly enough, we all cull something from it. V'zehu ma'asha amar kan, Baruch shenasan Torah, Keneged arba banim dibra Torah, kol echod lefi sichlo v'havanaso. Says the Beis Halevi so beautifully. You know what the essence of Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu is? It's not like the Rashbeitz. It's not Birchas HaTorah. Or I should say, it's not like the Otzim Mefarshei Agada, who said it the first time that it's a transition phrase. Or it's not just opening the Shira with a praise to God. And it's not simply Birchas HaTorah. And it's not simply trying to help us from the mitzvah of Sipur. What is the essence of Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? It teaches us how to relate to our children. And by extension, it teaches us how to relate to people. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what the most amazing thing about you is? And God has many amazing attributes, but the most amazing one is that He gave us a Torah that's one size fits all. When I say one size fits all, it looks very different on each and every one of us. But the amazing part is that everyone is able to find something. Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael, blessed are you, God, who gave Torah to the Jewish people, Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. That's the connection. Immediately after we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His Torah, now that I have Torah, now I have a way to reach out to all of those four sons. Now I have a way to reach out to all of those children with different needs. Now I have a way to reach out to the Chacham, to the Rasha, to the Tam, to the She'en Odei Elisho. Yes, I'm going to have to do it differently for each one, because they each could only be reached in their own particular way. And none of them are going to see this Torah. I'm going to give them the same text. We're going to read the same psukim. But each one are going to get something different. But at the end of the day, each will get something. To take it one step further, here, this was my new purchase for this year. Well worth it. Haggadah Shel Pesach Breslov. Someone went ahead and collected the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And the beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. Again, it's often, if you've ever tried some of Rabbi Nachman's Torah, it's incredibly difficult to try to understand most of it. But happens to be, I've been lucky so far. The pieces that I looked at, I think I've been able to understand for the most part. So he writes over here the following, echoing the same type of theme. Ki kimo sha Hashem yisbarach. Oh, sorry. Baruch hamakom baruchu. Baruch shenasan Torah li'amo Yisrael. Ki kimo sha Hashem yisbarach shenikra mikomo shel olam. Umilo kol haaretz kivodo. Remember, the Haggadah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Hamakom. Now, what does that name Hamakom mean? Right? What does it mean, Hamakom? The place. Why do we call God the place? What does that symbolize? That God occupies every single inch, everywhere. Which is why, by the way, when we greet an Avel, greet is the wrong word, when we depart from Avel, what do we say? Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. Ever wonder why do we use that name of God? Why Hamakom? Because an Avel is most prone to feel what? Abandoned. That God is not with me. So what do the Menachemim, what do the comforters say? Hamakom, you're not alone. You feel alone. I understand you feel, and we're not even going to talk about it, because it's not right for me to tell you that you're not alone. But I'm telling you, you're not alone. You don't feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You maybe even feel cast aside by God. But Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. What's the Nechama? The Nechama is knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right by your side, even if you don't feel Him. Umelo kol ha'aretz kivodo. Va'af ha'pikein. Who ne'elam v'sasim mikol stimin sheze b'chinas baruch hu. Rabbi Nachman highlights perhaps one of the greatest theological inconsistencies and difficulties that we grapple with. That we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Makom, that He's everywhere. But yet, why is it so often that we can't find Him? Why is it so often that we feel that He is hidden from us? Why is it so often that, yeah, we're conditioned to sing it. Uncle Maishi conditions us to sing this, right? Hashem is here, Hashem is there. Right? That's like one of the Ten Commandments. Right? Yeah. So this is what we're conditioned to think, but yet, real life is so much more complicated. And it's so hard to find the Ribono Shel Olam. Says Rabbi Nachman, but that's par for the course. Baruch HaMakom. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. But, Baruch Hu, we must also recognize, Baruch Hu, says Rabbi Nachman, is that often God can't be found, and often God can't be felt, and often God can't be seen. But that doesn't mean that He is not present. So Rabbi Nachman breaks up these two ideas. Baruch HaMakom, representing God filling every inch of space in this universe. Baruch Hu. Who, now, what's the difference between HaMakom and who? Who means what? Him. Him means what? What? I know, this is a confusing question. Right? Him refers to God. But when you refer to God as Him, as opposed to place, what are you doing? Okay.
Who would be transcendent and the Makom would be imminent?
Good. Or let me use different wordings. That Him, who, sounds like a quantifiable concept. HaMakom is unquantifiable. It's everywhere. Who is quantifiable? So what does it mean if it's, for argument's sake, what does it mean if God is quantifiable? What? Say that. We're limiting Him. And if we're limiting Him, then what happens? Right? Then if we're, and He can't be everywhere. He can't be everywhere. So that's what it means. Correct. So what Rabbi Nachman is saying is this contradiction, and we live with many contradictions in Judaism. We've spoken about this many times before, that in Judaism, we acknowledge our contradictions, and we embrace our contradictions, and we say, you know what? That's about life. Life is learning that there are contradictions, and not being able to reconcile those contradictions, and accept those contradictions. So yes, Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom, He's everywhere. But more often than not, it seems to us, Baruch Hu. That God is quantifiable, i.e., that He's somewhere and not everywhere. That sometimes I feel like where I need Him, He is not to be found. He's hidden. Baruch HaMakom, He's everywhere. I acknowledge that. I'm acknowledging both of these ideas simultaneously. I say, yes, He is everywhere, but I also acknowledge the fact, Baruch Hu, that often to man, He does not appear like He is everywhere. So he goes on. Kimokein ba'ofen zeh nasan ha-Torah ha-Kadosh al-Yamo Yisrael. Ki oraisa ushma dekud shabrihu sosim vegalya. So too when it comes to Torah, and this is very beautiful. You know, the Gemara talks about the idea that Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael are all one entity. One entity. So says Rabbi Nachman, Torah is very much like God. How would you classify God? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. He's everywhere, but what? But he's not. But he's not. He's everywhere, but he's not. So what does that mean? That God has certain aspects of his persona, of his divine identity, that are revealed, right? There are nigle, and some that are nistar. Some that are revealed, and some that are hidden. Well, guess what? You know what else has an identity like that? Torah. Torah. There are parts of Torah, Baruch HaMakom, that perhaps are clearly visible, discernible, understandable by all. And there are also parts of Torah that what? That we don't chap. That we don't get, that we don't understand. Nuances that perhaps we never even pick up on. He goes on. Kimuvar bazar HaKadosh, Va'al kein HaTorah hi mechaya kol hamadregos, v'nosenes chayim l'chol echad ve'echad kefi madregaso u'bichinaso. Therefore, says Rabbi Nachman so beautifully, that Torah has the ability to give life-sustaining force to every creature in this world in accordance with their level of understanding. Some understand the revealed aspects of Torah. Some understand the hidden aspects of Torah. Some understand only some of the revealed aspects. Some understand all of the revealed aspects. And guess what? Torah has the ability to connect with each and every individual in accordance with their level of understanding. Now listen to this. V'zeh kineged arba banim dibra Torah. Says Rabbi Nachman, that is the meaning of the section that the Torah spoke corresponding to four sons. Ki hi koleles kol hamadregos umidaberes im kol echo lefi bichinoso umadregoso. Now, by the way, just make sure you pay close attention to Rabbi Nachman's wording. Ki hi koleles kol hamadregos. What does that mean? Torah includes all levels. Again, echoing the same sentiment that we saw in the Beis Halevi, in Reb Chaim Volozhiner. This child learns the same chumish as his Babi and Zaidi are learning right next to him. Right? The simple person with no background learns the same psukim as the greatest sage in Israel. And they both, the same Torah, but they will both take something different away, and they will both find something meaningful and impactful for their lives in accordance with where they are holding. So kia kolos kala madregos. But here I think is the part that Rabbi Nachman says that is astounding. Umidaberes im kol echad lefi bichinaso madregaso. What does that mean? Torah talks to you. Torah talks to you. Torah talks to you. Umidaberes im kol echad lefi bichinaso umadregaso. All I need to do is listen, and Torah will talk to me. Yes, I have to go ahead and engage the Torah. I have to start up the relationship. I somehow have to initiate the dialogue. But the truth is, after the conversation gets started, I could really become a passive participant and listen to what Torah is saying to me. Rabbi Nachman is saying so beautifully that when a person engages in the beautiful pursuit of Torah, there's a communication that occurs between the Torah and between the soul of man that often the mind and the intellect may not even be aware of. And there is a message that is communicated from the Torah to the soul of man that the soul, where I'm holding right now, where I'm holding in life, is able to absorb. Not something that's going to go over my head, not something that I can't understand, but based on where I'm holding, the Torah speaks to me. Le'echad miramezes kitzas mikidusha sahane'elama besocha. So to some, the Torah will speak about the hidden dimensions of holiness. Shezeh bechinas ma'asha amra b'senes chorom levracha. Ha'torah kula shemosa shala kadosh baruch hu. Ve'al yedezeh ma'ach. Okay, so that's Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman's is so beautifully, again, really in line with the Beis Halevi and in line with Rabbi Twersky, that what is going on over here? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Now, Rabbi Nachman is really the only one who addresses that piece. According to Rabbi Nachman, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu means what? We begin, if we're going to learn Torah, then let's acknowledge the realities of Torah. a major reality of Torah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. God. Let's start with God before you get to Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, but He's not everywhere. So, which one is it? So, alright, we already have a Masorah. We're allowed to be confusing. That's okay. Right? So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He's the Makom, but at the same time, I don't always feel that He's the Makom. But that's okay. That's okay. Guess what? Torah is the same dynamic as well. Torah, on one hand, again, is revealed. The text is right there in front of us. But there are so many layers of it that lay beneath the surface that often we cannot perceive. And says Rabbi Nachman, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liyamo Yisrael. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave the Torah to Israel. Why? What's the source? Why is that? Why is it such a blessing? Because Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. See, here's the amazing part. You can't always reach out to your children with physics, or with math, or with science, or with philosophy. What Rabbi Nachman is telling us is, there is one common denominator among every single Jew. There is one way to engage every single soul. And what is it? It's Torah. But what's the chap? What's the chap? You have to know how to use it for the particular person in their particular state. Baruch Shenosan Torah Liyamo Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of wisdom, gave us a gift of holiness that allows us to do what? Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. That allows us to go ahead and actually connect with every single Jew, with every single child in their own way. Granted, the challenge is figuring out what's the way, right? What's the path? What's the approach? Which level of Torah will appeal to a particular individual? That's the greatest challenge, but we are assured that the common denominator, the spiritual common denominator, is absolutely there. One last piece just to tie up this theme. The Netzivin number 11 says very beautifully, Arba Pa'amim, Ba'amim 11a, Arba Pa'amim Baruch, Neged arba'a bonim shechasha kadosh baruch hu lezakosam ulahair einayim balayla hahu api mitzvas chakiras usheila tshuva lecho echa lefi asagaso. So the Netziv makes an amazing observation. He says the word baruch appears how many times in this section? 4 times. And he says each baruch refers to another one of the children. Look how beautiful this is. If you skip down to B, I'm sorry, before you get, let's finish A, the last 2 lines in A. What do we say? Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom. So, who's the first child that we talk about? The Chacham. Now Chacham, of course, as we know, is not just simply a child who's intellectually bright. But a Chacham is someone we refer to, possesses spiritual characteristics as well. Well, what is the greatest attribute of Chachma that man could possess? The greatest attribute of wisdom that a Jew could possess is what? Or the greatest piece of wisdom that a Jew could possess is the knowledge? Ask questions, good. That God is everywhere. Because the reality is, if you live your life feeling that God is everywhere, then by definition, you plant yourself on an incredible path. What's the first statement in Shulchan Aruch? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. The Shulchan Aruch begins with the statement, I place God before me at all times. The person who lives with an ever-present awareness of God is a Jew who will lead a meaningful life. It's not just a Jew, it's a person who will lead a meaningful life. So watch this. Says the Netziv, the first Baruch is Baruch HaMakom. That refers to the Chacham. Why? Because he perceives God where? In every Makom, in every place. What's the next sec in letter B? Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu, who's the second son? Is the Rasha. What does it mean, Baruch Hu? God's going to find a way to reach out to him also. God's going to find a way to reach out to him, even though he doesn't perceive God everywhere. Correct. He's not in Makom. He doesn't see God everywhere. Maybe he doesn't even see God at all. But you know what? He still gets what? He still gets a Baruch. He still gets a Baruch. The one we call... Now, by the way, a Rasha, you know, to be called a Rasha... It's not just, you know, like, you know, going to a Kiddush club, you know. I mean, you know, Russia is, you know, this is, to be called a Russia is a very, very, very serious term. And yet, nevertheless, a Russia, Baruch Hu. there's blessing for him also. Why is there blessing for him also? What Rabbi Nachman said. Because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in different ways, in different situations, Torah has so many different components to it. Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. Because Keneged Arba Banim. Because there's a Torah for everyone. There's even a Torah for the Rasha. Letter C. Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. That's the third Baruch. Who is the third son? Right? The third son is the Tam, the simple son. How do you deal with the simple child? Right? So the Haggadah says, at psachlo. Right? If you just start the process, the simple child won't ask you, but if you start the process, he'll get into it. So what do we say? Baruch shenasan Torah li'amo Yisrael, letter C, neged hatam, she'ein bodas lahasik ava v'kirmas Hashem, ayidei atoru makir. So what do you do with the tam? What do you do with the child? It's just simple, again, not a chacham, not a rasha, but just kind of, I guess we'll call it apathetic, start the conversation. Start the conversation. Engage them. And if you engage them, they will find bracha as well. And the last child, letter D, who is the last one? The She'ena Yodei Lishal. And what do we say about him? Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu. Interestingly enough, he gets the same phraseology as who?
Rasha.
As the Rasha. Because what do the Rasha and the She'ena Yodei Lishal have in common? They both don't show up on the theological radar. Right? The Russia might have a lot more anger, might have a lot more animosity, but the She'ini Yodei Lishol is also a non-player. But yet, even if you're She'ini Yodei Lishol, nevertheless, what is still waiting for you? There's bracha. Look what the Netziv says. He says, if you go to the second line in letter D, Umiko Mokom Chasha Kodesh Baruch Hu Liftoach Piv V'Libo Lahaskil Mu'uma. So what happens, says the Netziv, Baruch Hu, even a She'ini Yodei Lishol, even a person who, for whatever the reason, is never going to accomplish anything in Torah, doesn't mean that they should not have some level of access to Torah. Does not mean that Torah doesn't have something for them as well. Or in other words, what the Netziv really does is ultimately take the concept of Rabbi Twersky, of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, of the Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, and builds it into the actual four baruchs of the tefillah to understand that what we're doing over here is we're teaching ourselves, A, number one, how to reach out to our own children, but number two, on a global level, how to reach out to other Jews, how to interact with other people, to recognize, A, no one is beyond salvation. No one is too far removed to be saved. No one, there's no such thing as a Jew who doesn't have a place in Torah, or a Jew for whom Torah has nothing to offer. Baruch shenasan Torah li'amo Yisrael keneged arba banim dibra Torah. There is something, again, some of us may be on a higher level of learning, a lower level of learning, some of us may understand even the unwritten parts of the Torah, but there is something, just like Chaim Volozhiner said, the same like the young child and the Zeda sit over the same Chumash, and each takes what he can handle from that, so to every single Jew has a chelik in Torah. To bring this all together, with this we'll close. So we began tonight trying to understand the need for the inclusion of Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. What does this phrase have to do with the Haggadah? So in number two, we had two different approaches by the Otzim HaFarshi Haggadah. One is that it really represents an introduction to this section of Magid. Much like many of the Rabbanim in the Gemara would often begin their Shi'urim with praise to God. So here we are praising God as a way of introducing the Shir. That was first approach. Second approach is, break, thank you. Second approach was a transition phrase. No, it's not an introduction, it's just simply because the previous Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really has nothing to do with the four sons, therefore we put this in here as a transition phrase. We then saw the Malbim, and really the Malbim, the Rashbats, the Rav, and the Otzim HaFarshi Haggadah all echo the same sentiment, which is that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu essentially represents Birchas HaTorah. Now we're going to make a fundamental shift in the Haggadah. We're going to leave a little bit more of the story-oriented part and roll up our sleeves and get a little bit more into textual analysis. Therefore, before we get into the textual analysis, we make a Birchas HaTorah, much less we make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Then why not go ahead and make it with the name of God? To which the Ultimate Farshi Haggadah already told us, because you already made it in the morning. But we are really more of a symbolic Birchas HaTorah to indicate that we are making now a fundamental shift in the order of the Seder, now becoming much more text-based. Rav Soloveitchik understood from here the idea of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is not just simply telling over the story of the Exodus, but rather, says the Rav, one is actually obligated to teach their children, employing the use of text, teaching them halacha, engaging them in the learning process. And we know this as adults. When somebody tells you a piece of information, it's interesting and it's intriguing, but you can't compare that to when you actually learn that piece of information from inside a text. When you learn that text, you acquire that Torah. You own that Torah. That's yours. When you hear it from someone else, essentially someone else is telling it to you, and what? It's nice, and what? I'm sorry? You're borrowing it. Meaning, because really what you're doing is, you're trusting that the speaker is telling you the truth, is telling you the MS, is not making anything up, but he's giving. But when you have it in front of you, you become a self-sufficient Jew. I have my Torah. Yeah, thank you. You're my teacher, you can help me understand it, but it's mine and I can acquire it on my own. Says the Rav, that's the mitzvah of Sipur. Not just telling stories, but enfranchising the children and enfranchising the others in the learning process. We then went on to see in number 7, another approach that Baruch HaMakom is the bracha that we make over Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why not make a regular bracha? Because since technically speaking, we've already discharged our obligation when? In Kriyashma, and we've already said brachos by Kriyashma, we don't make another bracha here. And our last approach, which was the approach of Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, Rabbi Nachman, and the Nitziv, is that in reality, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is the actual introduction to the Dalet Banim. Because what is the essence of the Dalet Banim? The essence of the Dalet Banim, or I should say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, gives us the understanding as to how we are to approach the section of Dalet Banim. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, like Rabbi Nachman said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many different dimensions to Him. We believe He's everywhere, but so often we don't feel Him with us. But yet Torah is the same way, so many different dimensions and layers in Torah. Some easily understood, some not understood at all, some so easy to gloss over. But yet, Baruch Shenosan Torah Liyamo Yisrael. But we bless the God who gave a Torah to all people that is usable for every single Jew, each according to his or her own way. Like Chaim Volozhiner said, the old sage and the young child learning over the same Chumash, not like other bodies of knowledge where there are different texts for different levels of understanding. One Chumash, one Torah for every single person. Everybody takes what they need, what they can handle. Therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, says the Netziv, says Rabbi Tversky, says Chaim Volozhiner, Baruch HaMakom Shenosan Torah Li'amo Yisrael, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. What we celebrate is that the reason we could sit down at a Seder together, the way we could celebrate the Pesach together, even though I'm sure your table is probably like my table, a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds with a lot of different baggage and a lot of different stuff going on. And you know what the beauty is? We all sit down and from that same Torah, we all take something. Probably no two of us take the same message, but we all take something. The message from the Leil HaSeder, from this particular section, is that there is something that Torah, that in this particular situation, our newfound freedom offers to each and every one of us. What we will do with this newfound freedom, because remember, we're not just celebrating a physical freedom, we're celebrating a spiritual freedom. What we will do with the spiritual freedom, of course, each of us will make our own choices and we'll go in our ultimate direction. But to remember that the Leil HaSeder, the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being a Jew, has something special and unique to offer each and every one of us. And it is our obligation on the Leil HaSeder to make sure that we capitalize on that experience. Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Baruch HaMakom Shenosan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. To make sure, whatever it is that we take, to make sure that we walk away from the Seder with something new that we did not possess before. All right, so stop over here. Yes, you have a resolution of the